Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio and study from God's eternal Word. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning in our Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. And continuing our study that I began on Monday on the subject of prayer, and of course with the emphasis on praying for our missionaries and for God's workers around the world. And we've got much material. We'll spend several days looking at this all-important study in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5, the Bible said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse number 6, the Bible said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." From these three verses of Scripture, I pointed out to you two truths that God wanted us to learn about praying. First of all, we looked at the purpose of praying. And in verse number 5, the Lord tells us that as we pray, we're not to be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and standing on the corner of the street, that they may be seen of men. Now again, I want to emphasize, he is not condemning their position, standing. He is not condemning the place, the synagogue, or the street. But what he is condemning is their purpose. They were praying to be seen of men. And then in verse number 7, he tells us not to be as the heathen are, for they use vain repetitions to make long their prayers. Now he is not condemning repetitious praying, but what he is condemning is repetitious praying to make the prayer long, to be impressive toward other men. You see, the purpose of praying is not to impress people. The purpose of praying is not to draw attention to ourselves. Our praying is to be for the eyes and the ears of God. We're to realize when we pray, God sees us and God hears us praying. And that is what matters. Notice in verse number 6, the Bible said, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So when we get in our prayer closet, others may not see us, but God does. Others may not hear us, but God does. So we look first of all at the purpose of praying. Our prayers are to be for the eyes and the ears of the Lord alone, not for other people. And then in verse number 6, we also learned not only there's the purpose of praying, but we looked at the place of prayer. And I realize this is a missing element in many of our Christian lives today. But I am convinced that every child of God ought to have a prayer closet. Now, I do not mean a little room in the corner of your bedroom somewhere where your shoes and clothes are stored. I'm not talking about that kind of closet. But you need a place where you can come apart, shut out the world and the things of the world, and just you have a personal, private place of prayer talking with the Lord. I was noticing as I read the scripture, Jesus said, "And thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." Now, he does not say if you have a prayer closet, because Christians do pray, and they need a place to pray. And so God is telling us the purpose of prayer. Our praying is for the ear of God, and our place of prayer is the secret place, somewhere where we can come apart from the world and shut out the things of this world and get alone and commune with God. Then we look thirdly, not only the purpose of praying, the place of prayer, but then we were looking at the pattern for our praying in verse number 9 down through verse number 13. And I said to you, this is not the Lord's Prayer, as it is commonly called. This is the model prayer. This is the prayer example that our Lord gave to his disciples when they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And he lays this out, and there are many different outlines that could be used. But the one that I favor most is this simple three-point outline. He said, first of all, that prayer is approaching God. Notice what the Bible said here in verse number 9. The Bible said, and after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I said to you, that element of this prayer is approaching God. We approach him with respect. Our Father, which art in heaven, we approach him with reverence. Hallowed be thy name. And we approach him with resignation. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And again, may I say to you, how we approach God will determine how God answers our prayer. If we approach him wrong, we will not get the answer that we're looking for to our prayer. But if we approach him with the right spirit, a prayer that is right must be a prayer that is honest, that is honorable, and that is from the heart. And if we approach him in that manner, then we can get answers to our prayer. Then notice again, not only prayer is approaching God, but prayer is asking God. In verse number 11, the first thing he prays for is physical need. Give us this day our daily bread. And I'm so grateful to God that you and I can pray over all of our physical needs. And we can expect God to grant them as we pray for them. Then in verse number 12, he deals with a spiritual need. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'm glad that we can come to him with confession of our sin and find forgiveness. But not only just forgiveness, but all of our spiritual needs can be prayed over, and we can expect God to grant them as we pray. Then number 3 in verse number 13, he said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here we find that we can pray for God's direction, God's leadership upon our life. And so many times we fail to pray for his leadership. And instead of following his leadership, we follow our own fleshly desires. And we find ourselves somewhere in the gutter. And we've got to come calling back to God to get us out and to restore us the joy of the Lord and the blessings of God upon our life. Friend, we ought to pray constantly for God's leadership and direction upon our life. So not only he prays, give us and forgive us and lead us, but then he said in verse number 13 that we're to pray for the Lord to deliver us from evil. Oh, I'm afraid we Christians are not aware of the evil that we face. Not just once a week or once a month or even once a day, but continually we are faced with the forces of evil unseen by the human eye, but oh, so real in this spiritual warfare that we encounter as we live the Christian life. So he said that we're to pray for God to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So prayer is approaching God. Then prayer is asking of God. And then number three, prayer is adoring God. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 13 again. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. There are four things here in this adoration I want to point out just briefly today. Notice, first of all, we adore him because of his kingship. He said, for thine is the kingdom. Our God is king. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's son, he's king of the Jews. But for the kingdom of God, God is king. And so we adore his kingship, his highness. We worship him because of his kingship. And then he said, and thine is the power, the authority. We not only adore his kingship, but we adore his authority, his power. And then notice, he said, and thine is the glory. Here we offer him the worship and praise that he is so worthy of. We adore his kingship. Thine is the kingdom. We adore his authority. Thine is the power. And we adore his majesty by saying, thine is the glory. Not unto us, but unto him is the glory to be offered. And then the last word in that prayer is the word forever. We adore him because of his eternality. I'm so grateful to God that I am not sitting here today worrying about my God dying and my great high priest passing away and me having to find another. No, my friend, I like the words of the Lord in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 7. Let me get verse number 23. The Bible talks about that Aaronic priesthood and said they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So the pattern of prayer, prayer is approaching God, prayer is asking God, and prayer is adoring God. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. Let me encourage you that you pray for the radio stations that carry the Harvest Time broadcast. November is our anniversary month. On the first Monday in November of 2002, I began broadcasting the Harvest Time broadcast. God has been so good to us. Lives have been blessed. We've had a report of one dear lady being saved by listening to the broadcast, and God has blessed us. We're on about 45 to 50 stations as we pass through our anniversary month. And I need to hear from a number of you. Your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on your station during the coming year. So I encourage you, take a few moments today as we leave the air, pray for us, and then sit down and write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address your letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. Be sure to include the call letters of the station you listen to, and your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on the air where you're listening. God bless you until the next broadcast.
I do not.